Henley and I were on a roll. I felt like anytime, any day, I could sit down at the piano or pick up the guitar and start playing, and he would start making up some lyrics or start singing some melodies. We had a lot going for us at the time, and we felt it was time to sort of do another concept album, you know, not a cowboy concept album, but rather the dark side of success, the underbelly of Hollywood and LA and all that stuff. I think, in fact, somebody said Dark Songs from Paradise is how they described Hotel California. I think that's a pretty good description.
Johnny come lately, the new kid in town.
Hi, gang. This is Joe Walsh.
And I'm Glenn Frey in the studio for Hotel California from the Eagles.
A vivid memory of driving halfway across America in late winter 1976 is when I first realized just how popular the Eagles had truly become. This was long before 21st century satellite radio. So driving 1,400 miles from Lincoln, Nebraska to take a radio job in Hartford, Connecticut meant retuning the radio every 75 miles or so to new local stations. And every station, AM or FM, big city or small, was playing One of These Nights, Lion Eyes, and Take It to the Limit as if their FCC license depended on it. All three of those from the album One of These Nights went to top 10 in the U.S. The album became the number one seller and eventually won a Grammy Award. So for the Eagles' next effort, did they have anything to prove? No way. Had their four platinum and multi-platinum sellers set the expectations bar exceedingly high? Absolutely. Yet Don Henley, Glenn Frey, Randy Meisner, and Don Felder saw a uniquely American epic story unfolding that they felt compelled to tell, which AllMusic.com critic William Rollman describes as, quote, the ephemeral nature of success, the attraction of excess, romantic disappointment, and a broad pessimistic history of America that borders on nihilism, end quote. According to the late Eagles co-founder Glenn Frey, four out of the five band members were up for it.
I think the Eagles, we made it, you know, as a group, and Don and I as a songwriting team, made a definite effort to not let the sales and hits from One of These Nights impact what we were doing. We constantly said we want to remain underdogs. We don't want to walk around patting ourselves on the back saying, boy, we just did great. But there's something nice about success. It does give one confidence. And I think we entered the Hotel California album with a lot of confidence. I think Henley and I were on a roll. It was a time when I felt like any time, any day, I could sit down at the piano or pick up the guitar and start playing, and he would start making up some lyrics or start singing some melodies. We had a lot going for us at the time. And we felt it was time to sort of do another concept album. You know, not a cowboy concept album, but rather the dark side of success, the underbelly of Hollywood and LA and all that stuff. I think, in fact, somebody said Dark Songs from Paradise is how they described Hotel California. I think that's a pretty good description.
Just one thing I don't understand.
by lead guitarist Don Felder, rhythm guitarist Glenn Frey, singer, drummer Don Henley, and outside writer John David Souther. That's Victim of Love from the Eagles Hotel California album. With guitarist banjo player Bernie Ledden and bass player vocalist Randy Meisner up through the One of These Nights album, the original band had been intact for the Eagles. They had only added Felder in 1973. He didn't replace anyone. Glenn Frey explained that it was time for another change.
We made another change in personnel. Bernie wanted to leave. We said, fine. I suggested we get Joe Walsh. Some people were not so sure about that, but I sort of insisted. I said, he's the guy that we should get.
Joe Walsh.
I feel like I was in the band way before I joined. You know, we used to jam all the time. We'd rent a house and move in an 8-track and jam and jam and jam and jam and help each other with each other's songs. So it was just logical that I would replace Bernie.
Part of what we were looking for was not so much to change our records as to change our live show. And Joe had come out and sat in with us when we opened for the Stones. Irving Azoff had brought Joe out on the road with us, and Joe, we would wheel him out in an anvil case during our encore and open the case, and then Joe would step out of the case with his Les Paul and plug in, and the Eagles would play with Joe Rocky Mountain Way, and then we'd do something like Oh Carol, you know, or you know, a couple of rock and roll tunes in our encore. So we were sort of already jamming with Joe. And what we were always looking for, what I was always looking for, was a way for the Eagles to finish their live set and kick butt. And Joe Walsh provided us with the sort of guitar player and a couple of pieces of material from his solo career that we could do that. I wanted, although Don Felder and Bernie Ledden were friends, musically they didn't jive together the way that Joe Walsh and Don Felder jive together. And the Layla album was, to me, the perfect example of two guitar players who liked each other going toe-to-toe in sort of an affable competition of trading licks with each other the way Duane Allman and Eric Clapton did. I wanted that kind of blistering guitar duo in our band. And Joe was the guy to do it and to stand toe-to-toe with Felder and go, oh, yeah? You know, and then the other guy go, oh, yeah? And so I did know that it was an important personnel change and was one that was going to take us from 15,000 seaters to baseball stadiums.
As the new kid in town, so to speak, Joe Walsh would make his presence known quickly on the first single from Hotel California, but it wasn't Walsh's famous slide guitar this time. Again, Glenn Frey of the Eagles.
Well, people don't know this, but Joe Walsh is quite an accomplished keyboard player. His mother was a piano teacher, and it was only after getting in rehearsal for the Hotel California album that we realized that Joe could play keyboards. So for New Kid in Town, we put Joe on piano and organ, and he played all those nice little answer licks. Da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. You know, very, very nice work he did on keyboards.
There's talk on the street, it sounds so familiar. Great expectations, everybody's watching you. Again.
after a while you're looking the other way. It's those restless hearts that never mend. Johnny come lately, the new kid in town. Will she still love you?
Eagles from the album Hotel California with New Kid in Town, a song about fame and notoriety and knowing them both for the imposters that they are. It's written by singer Glenn Frey, drummer Don Henley, and J.D. Souther. Up next, Joe Walsh with the real-life inspiration for Life in the Fast Lane. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for number 37 album on Rolling Stone magazine's all-time top 500 albums, Hotel California from the Eagles.
Hi, gang. This is Joe Walsh in the studio with Redbeard for the Eagles Hotel California.
Thanks, Joe. This is the anniversary of Hotel California, a top 10 best-selling album in U.S. history. Not unlike Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones, at almost the very same time, Joe Walsh found himself in an uncannily similar situation, that being half guitar slinger, half court jester, who could mollify the egos of the main songwriting team. Here's Joe.
The formula for a rock band to be creative is tension, controlled chaos. Everybody was constantly on guard. Everybody was constantly like, can't let your guard down. And we went at it. Now, I mean this as brothers. This was non-violently. Sometimes there was talking behind each other's backs, but we enjoyed it.
The addition of Joe Walsh gave the Eagles a fourth lead singer, a fifth songwriter, and the guitar hero dimension they needed to become the ultimate American band. A perfect example, according to Glenn Frey, was Life in the Fast Lane.
I had had that title for a couple of months. I was riding with a guy, and we were too buzzed for our own good, and he was over in the left lane in the freeway going about 85 miles an hour, and I was kind of paralyzed in the seat next to him, and I said, hey, slow down, man. And he says, hey, you know, what do you mean, man? We're in the fast lane. And so I had Life in the Fast Lane as a title, and Henley liked the title, too. I said, we should write a song called Life in the Fast Lane, man. About, you know, we'll write some song about some Hollywood couple that has everything and takes it all to excess and destroys their lives. And he said, yeah, we should. And we didn't have a musical format for that tune until during rehearsal up at Randy Meisner's house. Joe, I think just warming up one day playing, you know, because, I mean, guys like Joe and Felder, they just blow through licks. Like, you know, they could play in one afternoon more guitar than I played in my entire life. And one of the things Joe kind of did was went, and boy, I just said, wait a minute, you know, stop the presses, hold, you know, stop everything. That is a really cool lick. Let's build a tune around that. That's Life in the Fast Lane.
Pretending not to notice, she was caught up in the race. Out every evening.
California, the Eagles with Life in the Fast Lane. I clearly remember when this album came out the first week of December 1976. From the cover graphics to the sonic recording quality, Hotel California somehow seemed to be from the near future, an overall quality standard of art and performance and technology that the rest of rock would have to catch up to. Here's Joe Walsh with me in the studio.
The funny thing is that Hotel California did so well. It became so important. At the time, we didn't have a clue what we were doing. Everybody thought we did. It affected so many people on the planet. In retrospect, it was beautiful. It was a blossoming of an artistic community.
Eagles co-founder Glenn Frey.
I think when you're working on records, that's what you're doing. You're working on records. You're not working on being a legend. You're not working on, you know, saying this is going to be really heavy. This is going to put our name there for all time because this is the greatest record we've ever made. I think in all cases, we're trying to make good records, trying to make statements, and trying to do things that our peer group, that Jackson Browne would like, that Joni Mitchell would like. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young would hear this and have respect for us and say we weren't just a bunch of snot-nosed kids following in their footsteps, that we were, you know, indeed artists.
Well, baby, there you stand with your little head down in your hand. Can't believe it's happening again. Your baby's gone and you're all alone, and it looks like the end. You're back out on the street and you're trying to remember. But you can't hold your man. You never thought you'd be alone this far down the line. I know what's been on your mind. You're afraid it's all been wasted time. What you thinking about the first time that you fell? You didn't love the boy too much. No, no, you just loved the boy too well. Day to day,
done so many things, baby. If I could only stop my mind from wondering what I left behind, and from worrying about this wasted time.
Musically showing Glenn Frey's love of Motown and Philly soul and spotlighting the maturing lyrics about personal relationships by Don Henley, that's Wasted Time from the Eagles Hotel California. Up next, Glenn and Don check us into the hotel. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for the anniversary of Hotel California by the Eagles.
Hi, gang. This is Joe Walsh in the studio with Redbeard for the Eagles Hotel California.
Thanks again, Joe. It's Hotel California's anniversary. Rolling Stone magazine ranks this album number 37 on their top 500 albums of all time. Glenn Frey told me about writing the lyrics to the title song, Hotel California.
When we wrote this song, Don Felder had originally submitted a demo tape of about 10 or 12 different instrumental things that he had put on cassette, and that was one that just jumped out at Henley and I. We said, this is electric Mexican reggae. Wow. What a nice synthesis of styles. And then Don and I were talking about songwriting, and I mentioned Steely Dan because Don and I admired the nerve that Fagan and Becker had in their lyrics. They got the Steely Dan t-shirts. They were making up names of places like Slow Hand Road. They did bold things lyrically. They called their own songwriting junk sculpture. And with Hotel California, Henley and I started talking about writing a song that was like the opening of a Twilight Zone, where you didn't have to explain what everything meant, but you could just do a series of shots of visuals. There's a car on the highway. There's a long shot back. There's lights glimmering in the distance. The car pulls up. A strange person opens the door and beckons this guy in. He walks in. He looks around. There's people dancing in the courtyard. There's a strange night man. And just the sort of bizarre imagery. In some ways, that was Don and I kind of trying to be like Steely Dan and be a little weird for the sake of being weird and not having to have every line in your song make absolute sense. And of course, out of that, what we, I guess, achieved is perfect ambiguity, where people read things into that song that were beyond our wildest ideas about what that song meant.
I champagne on ice, and she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't kill the beast. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the nightman, we are programmed to receive. You can check out anytime you like, but you can't.
The single Hotel California sold over a million copies, went to number one. The album has since sold over 16 million in the U.S. alone. Because of that kind of megastardom, those lyrics that Glenn Frey admitted didn't necessarily have any real meaning have been studied and analyzed ad nauseum. Co-lyricist, drummer, singer Don Henley says that the lyrics to Hotel California have been misinterpreted by so many that the band has actually been verbally defamed by at least one individual.
Some wacko evangelist from Oklahoma or Texas or somewhere printed in a book, just made it up, mind you, from scratch, that the Eagles were members of the Church of Satan in San Francisco and that we were followers of Anton LaVey. And on the inside of the Hotel California album cover, may I take this opportunity to talk about this and clear this up? Because I'm really sick of getting these letters. On the inside of the Hotel album cover, there is a girl in the balcony. She was a black girl. She's a model. She has got a very thin, pointy face. She's leaning over the balcony with her arms spread, like sort of like wings or something like that. Now, somehow, among very pathetic, superstitious people, this got turned into something completely ridiculous and outrageous. The rumor started going around that this woman was Satan, or that she was Anton LaVey, or something wild like that. On our
I'm sorry, who's
Anton LaVey? Is supposedly some... the head of the Church of Satan in San Francisco. I don't know much about the guy except that. So the rumor got spread over the years that the Eagles were Satan worshipers. This is so ridiculous I can hardly talk about it, but I'm going to anyway. But if it gets any worse, I think we're going to have to band together and stand up and say, listen, we're tired of you people picking on us. There are a lot greater evils in the world. There are a lot more messes to clean up. There are a lot more important things to focus your time and your energies on than rock and roll. You know, sure, like I said, there's a few irresponsible rock and roll groups with irresponsible messages, but
there's a few irresponsible evangelists.
Many. They're irresponsible people in every walk of life, and people don't seem to have much of a sense of humor about rock and roll. I can't believe all the superstition and all the things that are taken literally in rock and roll lyrics. I mean, some of this stuff to me is just outright funny, you know. Some of the heavy metal lyrics are comedy as far as I'm concerned. And I don't say that in necessarily a derogatory sense. I just say it's something not to be taken quite so seriously. If a kid is brought up properly and raised properly, he's going to know reality from fantasy. Only a kid who is already screwed up by his parents or by the school system or by some genetic defect is going to take this stuff seriously enough to go out and do any kind of real damage to himself or to somebody else. So I would say to these people, why don't you look in your own house? Why don't you clean up your own house first before you start pointing the finger at other people?
And get your facts straight.
I just had to get that off my chest. I'm done now.
That was Eagles singer, drummer, lyricist, and co-founder Don Henley. Well, there's certainly no controversy surrounding the closing song on Hotel California, The Last Resort. Here's Glenn Frey.
I have to give most of the credit for The Last Resort to Henley. It was the first time, I think, that Don, on his own, took it upon himself to write an epic story. You know, we were very much at that time concerned about the environment. We were starting to do anti-nuclear benefits. It seemed to be the perfect way to conclude, you know, and wrap up all of the different topics and things we had explored in the Hotel California album. I think Don really found himself as a lyricist on that song, really kind of outdid himself.
She came from Providence, one in Rhode Island, where the old world shadows hang heavy in the air. She packed her hopes and dreams like a refugee, just as her father came across the sea. She heard about a place people were smiling. They spoke about the red man's ways and how they loved the land. And they came from everywhere to the great divide, seeking a place or a place to hide. Down in the crowded bars, out for a good time. Can't wait to tell you all what it's like up there. They call it paradise, I don't know. Somebody laid the mountains low while the town got high.
Sinking in the sea.
You know what I mean? We're constantly screwing up paradise. And that was really what the point of the song was, that and that at some point there's going to be no more new frontiers. We're putting junk and garbage into space now. You know, there's enough crap floating around the planet that's not, that we can't even use now, you know. So it just seems to be our way. It's unfortunate, but that's sort of what happens.
You can leave it all behind. You sail to Lahaina, just like the missionaries did so many years ago. They even brought a neon sign. Jesus is coming. They brought the white man's burden down. Brought the white man's rain. Who will provide the grand design? What is yours and what is mine? There is no more new frontier. We have got to make it here. We satisfy our endless needs and justify our bloody deeds in the name of destiny.
Shocking loss of Glenn Frey in January 2016 due to pneumonia and colitis resulting from treatment for rheumatoid arthritis is incalculable. It's truly fitting that Glenn Frey had the last word at checkout time on the lasting legacy of Hotel California.
I really believe that Hotel California has withstood the test of time, and I think side one is one of the best sides to come out of the 70s. It just, you know, it's very, you know, I think it's still strong. I think it's still really good. It still sounds good to me on the radio. But those songs, Hotel California, New Kid in Town, Life in the Fast Lane, Wasted Time, the Wasted Time string interlude that begins side two, so you know from whence you came when you flipped the album over, Victim of Love, Pretty Maids All in a Row, Try and Love Again, The Last Resort. Those songs have withstood the test of time. When we made that record, we weren't thinking about the ramifications or the possibilities. But in retrospect, we worked very hard on that record. It's a pretty formidable piece of work.
I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this. This edition of In the Studio is in tribute to the late Glenn Frey, whose soul flew on the wings of eagles to the heavens in January 2016. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2016, all rights reserved. Transcription, Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.